Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Former Houston Texan quarterback Dan Orlovsky. What's happening, Dan?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing good, man. Hey, first and foremost, congratulations on the new gig with ESPN. As someone who grew up, you know, figuratively, I guess, down the street from ESPN, not far from that campus in Bristol, this has got to be just a huge thrill for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's super cool. You know, I very much so grew up very close, and then I was that kid that would be up in the mornings watching SportsCenter, and then when I got home, watching SportsCenter, and when I went to bed, watching SportsCenter. So I kind of grew up like so many kids on ESPN, and growing up so close to it is even more impactful. So it's a dream come true. I'm super excited for it.
Dan, it's great to have you with us. And Sean mentioned that one of the reasons you're in town is for this flag football game tomorrow night. And I don't know how many of our listeners have turned on to the American Flag Football League. They've been on the NFL Network. The game tomorrow night at 7 is on the NFL Network. But from what I've been reading, the response has been fantastic on social media. Obviously there's been some big names involved. I guess if you could just give us a little preview maybe of what if somebody comes out to see the game tomorrow night, what's in store for them and how it's gone so far leading up to this championship game.
Well, it's been really exciting and definitely eye-opening. When I kind of took this role to do the broadcasting for it, you know, I initially thought, well, it's just going to be kind of like almost a beer league softball thing, you know, a bunch of guys just still staying attached to the game and whatnot. And it's kind of been the contrary. This is a very big deal. Flag football is a very big deal throughout our country. And these guys that play, are, at least from this America's bracket, your kind of average American Joes, take it very seriously. They train for it. They work for it. It's everyday, you know, very much so a part of their everyday life. I think a big thing is a lot of these guys fall under the umbrella of, you know what, you weren't big enough or you weren't tall enough or maybe you were a tenth of a second too slow to go play big-time college football or have a chance to make it to the NFL. And this is kind of their world that they're in. And they're much more skilled and athletic than you think. It is not beer league softball. These guys are impressive athletes. They have very much so a unique set of skills. There's plans, there's playbooks. And so it's been a lot of fun to be a part of. I can tell you this, do not be surprised. No one should be surprised, whether you're watching or they're live, if this team out of New Orleans Fighting Cancer comes away and beats the X-Pros tomorrow night. Wow. Don't be surprised, because they are incredibly impressive.
What's Bavada? I don't know what the Bavada
has. I haven't checked the odds on it yet. Yeah, I haven't checked the spread. Rest assured, I will check it before the game.
No, Dan, I think it's cool for somebody who you know, who left the game because of concussions. I just think flag football is a great alternative. I mean, do you feel like the NFL is kind of, I mean, the NFL Network's covering it, so it's a branch of the NFL. Do you feel like the NFL is supporting this and is, you know, that it's good for people to see there's maybe an alternative to tackle football, at least in the earlier ages?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, the NFL definitely is backing it, and I think that the NFL Network has done a remarkable job of covering it and educating people on it. You know, I do believe that, at least in our youth, we're going to very much so trend towards flag being the dominant thing and getting rid of some tackle football before a certain age, which I'm a supporter of. I think it's really cool that these guys have a place. You know, the NFL is not for them, and there's just not a place for them there. But for these guys that love the game and are still, telling you, good enough and skilled enough, this is a place for them to go. And it's certainly a great opportunity for the youth to watch and still fall in love with football. Tackle football in the NFL will always be king in our country. It always will be, and it should be. But I think it's really cool that some of the kids can look at this, because the reality is, the guys that get to play in the NFL, like I've mentioned, are the absolute 0.001% of the world physically. And so if there's kids out there that love the game of football, but they're going to fall under that world of, oh, you know, you're 5'6 instead of 5'10, or you can only get to 150 pounds, but they have this unique, really athletic skill set. There's going to be places for them, and I think this is one that is this league is going to be an opportunity for guys to continue to kind of chase those dreams in a way.
Dan Orlovsky joining us on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. All right, Dan, shifting gears, I know we've talked on this show with you multiple times about Deshaun Watson. I feel like anytime we bring up Deshaun Watson here in this offseason, we look at all the flowery things that happened in those six games and the 39 points a game in the last five starts and all the hopes and dreams that are attached to this kid. I want to take it from a different angle this time and ask you, what are the things that you think Deshaun Watson needs to improve upon from last year heading into 2018?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's one that's kind of been avoided. I think the biggest thing is obviously his health and how he's handled, because one of Deshaun's unique gifts is his ability to go run around and be athletic and be special. And he moves like not like a quarterback. He moves like a running back or receiver. And so if this was a running back or receiver and he had that similar injury, we would be talking much more cautious about it. We wouldn't – it's almost like a foregone conclusion that he's just going to come back and be completely healthy. And so I think that's a big thing, is him being handled the right way in August and into the preseason, because I do believe it's going to take some time because of, that's one of the strengths of his game. I think a big thing is, can he make that transition to playing a little bit more like Russell Wilson? Because he's going to take hits that other quarterbacks don't, because he's such a special athlete. And people may not think it's a big deal, but those three hits a game add up over 16 seasons. And when you're coming off an injury, that's going to be a big deal for him. You know, just as far as his performance-wise, I'd say this. I don't want him to try and be somebody he's not. And you get concerned with coaches in the NFL that, oh, we got to make him more of a pocket passer and whatnot. I'm hoping that he's confident enough in his own game and in his own self and the system that he's going to be a part of to let it rip and not try to be somebody who just sits back there in the pocket and takes away his stinger. And I want him to stay aggressive as an athlete. And then I would say the big thing is being able to get the ball out of his hands in plays that are set up for that. You know, coaches call plays, okay, we're going to take shots, we're going to try to hit intermediate routes. And Deshaun, this is a play, we just want to get it out of your hands. Do a better job of getting the ball out of your hands quickly on those specific plays to avoid extra hits.
Dan Orlovsky joining us here on the Triple Threat. Dan, Sean mentioned that ESPN is going to utilize you on both the college and NFL front. If you don't mind, I've got a college question I'd love to get your opinion on. We all marveled at what Tom Herman did here in Houston when he took the U of H job and the immediate impact he had on the culture of U of H football, as well as, of course, the results on the field. He goes to the University of Texas, and I think there are a lot of people expecting more in year one than maybe what he delivered. And obviously, he's working with mostly athletes that he did not recruit. I firmly believe that part of that is that at the University of Houston, as far as selling your methods to the athletes, I think it was a much easier sales job at U of H than it might have been initially at Texas, because I think we all agree there's at least some sense of entitlement that exists at the University of Texas. Do you still believe in Tom Herman? Do you still think ultimately he'll succeed at Texas and get them back where they want to be?
Yeah, very much so. I think Tom Herman's one of the, you know, if I had a kid and he was going to get recruited by some coaches, you know, Scott Frost would be one of them. Herman would be high on my list. So I want my kid to go play for him. He just seems like he does it the right way. You know, we live in this culture, and that's part of why sports are so great, but we want it right now. And don't forget that his quarterback last year was a true freshman and showed really, really good signs. And so you're going to have that kid who played pretty well for at least the next 2 years, probably the next 3 years. And so when you have that, as everybody knows, that's a big deal. I think his defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando, is going to take another step forward and do a better job of understanding his personnel and understanding the difference between, you know, playing in the AAC and then going and playing in a conference like Texas does in the Big 12. So I expect them to take another step forward, but I absolutely believe in that coaching staff. And, again, going back to having a young quarterback that is – had some experience, performed pretty well, and able to learn of the flaws that he had, I think is only going to, you know, exponentially improve his growth. I'm excited to watch them kind of this year, and I think he's going to have a really big 24-month, two-year stretch at Texas.
Hey, Dan, want to get your thoughts on the Le'Veon Bell situation. Here's a guy that, you know, who's going to play through his franchise tag for this year. They couldn't come to an agreement on a long-term deal. I mean, he's truly betting on himself. The numbers that he's asking for are way above market value for what running backs typically get. He considers himself a weapon, a playmaker, so he feels like he should make more. And I don't think he's that far off. But just what do you think about players taking more chances on themselves? You know, players betting on themselves, waiting to get bigger paydays. It's such a trend. You know, it bucks the trend from what, you know, when we used to play. Guys just kind of feeling like they, you know, they have to take whatever's offered to them. Just your thoughts on kind of this new trend of players betting on themselves now.
Well, I think no one's been hurt by it yet. No one's had the, you know, and you cross your fingers and hope that's not the case. And so no one's been hurt on it, you know, at least in recent memory. So, you know, it's a feel good. Yeah, why not? You should do it too type thing. I'll say this. I'm super surprised they didn't get him signed. Because I think of Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers in regards to Steelers are one of the most historic franchises in the history of the NFL. And they've got a window that is very much so shrinking, and mainly because AB's only getting older and Big Ben's got a couple years left. You know, Le'Veon Bell is the only guy in the history of the NFL that can say he's top five rushing and top eight receiving in the history of the organization. I mean, he's fourth in rushing and eighth in receiving in the history of the Steelers. And by the end of the year, he'll be top five in both. I mean, that's flat out remarkable. And no one's ever said that. So that's where I think the holdup contract has been, obviously. But I'm surprised that an organization like the Steelers that drafted him and is very blue-collar and committed as a fan base, that they didn't get it done. But you certainly hope that he can go produce and stay healthy again. And to go get his own money, I'm all for guys getting paid. But I'm just surprised that the Steelers didn't get it done, because no one in the NFL has been like him. No one in the NFL ever can say those numbers. So I was surprised it didn't happen.
That's a great stat. He's going to be in the top five in rushing and receiving for the Steelers.
And the history.
Yeah.
History.
And the history of the history of an historical team.
Yeah.
You know
exactly
what I mean? That's amazing. That's a great, great number.
Hey, Dan, call your shot tomorrow night. Do the amateurs pull it off?
I'm not a betting man. If I was a betting man, I will say that I do think the pros will win. My reason is this. When you talk to the amateurs, they all say, listen, we do this. We play on weekends for T-shirts. We'll play on weekends for $1,000 and split it up between the 10 or 12 of us. It's going to be a different atmosphere tomorrow night when the lights are bright on national television for $1 million. And guys, Teddy can tell you, lights are very real. And when that dollar amount goes from $1,000 to $1 million, you know, I think you might get a little bit of a pucker up. So I would think that the pros will have a big advantage. They're used to playing for big dollars on week, you know, under the lights. So I think the pros will have advantage, but I would not be in the least bit shocked if Fighting Cancer pulls it off.
It's 7 o'clock tomorrow night, BBVA Compass Stadium, which is a great atmosphere. It's a great place to play football games.
It is awesome venue.
It's going to be awesome. And Dan, it's on the NFL Network tomorrow night?
Yep, NFL Network. It'll be Bob Papa and me, myself, and Kay Adams doing a sideline, and she's a trip. So it'll be a lot of fun to be a part of.
You guys have done a great job. Dan, congratulations again on all the success, and the ESPN gig is we're really excited for you, man. Looking forward to seeing a lot of you on TV this fall, and we'll talk to you again down the road. Have a great call tomorrow night.
I appreciate it, guys. Good talking with you.
All right, you too. Buddy. Dan Orlovsky joining us on the show.